Hello and welcome to Mega City Book Club, the podcast about the galaxy's greatest comics, mainly the British ones. This is episode 300. I'm Eamon Clark, and making a record-breaking ninth appearance in the book club, Mr. Covers Uncovered himself, Pete Wells. Welcome back, Pete.
Hooray! Lovely to be back. Happy birthday, Eamon.
Thank you very much. We just worked it out before we started recording. It's 2 years since we did From Hell, episode 223, I believe. We looked it up, didn't we?
Yes.
It's a while ago.
A little while ago, yes. Lots of things happened since then.
I bet. You've been busy as ever. Now, I've got to answer a question that was posed in episode 299 about Lawman, Judge Dredd, Lawman of the Future comic. Because Dan Stokes, who was on that episode, was looking for pages on Comic Art Fans and came across one page owned by yourself.
Yes, it was a Jim Murray page, one of my favourite artists, Jim, from Lawman of the Future. I thought his artwork always stood out in Lawman of the Future, and obviously went on to do the Dredd and Batman thing and everything. But it was a page with a perp. He was running up some stairs, and it looked like the stairs from Rocky, and Jim Murray had put a little statue of Rocky at the top, and it was just a little in-joke, because obviously it was the Stallone Dredd. So that's what made us get it.
Very nice. And that statue is, of course, there. Now, obviously, Pete, I've asked you on to talk about the top 10 2000 AD prog covers. I had this mad idea to do a vote. And as you know, Pete, I got it wrong. I have to make an apology up front because I cast the net far too wide by asking people to do the top 10 from all the progs so far. Oh, well over 2,500 of them. And not surprisingly, this stumped people quite a bit. I think they found it quite hard, and the results I got were far too widely scattered to give us any sort of reliable top 10, I think. No statistical significance. So in a moment, we're going to be talking about the top 10 covers from the first 300 progs. This is episode 300. I probably mentioned that already. But I will say that the one cover that did get the most votes out of all progs is going to come up in our top 10. And another cover that was doing quite well in the voting was, and may well have featured if we'd done the all-time top 10, was prog 1791, Nicolai Dante's final cover. And I'm mentioning this because you own that cover, Pete.
Yes, I'm a very lucky boy. Simon Fraser was always really, really kind to me, particularly when I've been doing the Covers Uncovered blog. He would send us all kinds of things in advance, and he sent that cover through, the images for that cover through, and I loved it. But it's startlingly different from the cover that was printed. So if you go to Comic Art Fans and look at my gallery on there, you'll see it. So for people that may not be able to remember, the final image or the final cover for Nikolai Dante was one of Simon's beautiful Russian cityscapes, with just an empty sky, and there was no Nikolai Dante on it. It was a really clever, poignant cover, sort of the absence of the character kind of marked the end of the strip, which was brilliant. But the version I've got, Nikolai's head's slap bang in the middle of it. So I think maybe Tharg must have said, "Simon, we're going to take Nikolai's head off," and I think it works much better for it. So if you want to see the original as envisaged, it's on my Comic Art Fans page.
Well, check in the show notes for this episode or on the website, megacitybookclub.com, and you will find links to both Pete's Lawman of the Future page and the cover to 1791 with the floating head of Nicolai Dante in the middle that didn't make it to the final cut. As you say, Tharg the Mighty said, nope, this makes much, much better without him. Amazingly beautiful cover.
You're not
going to
argue with him, are you?
No. Right, Pete, we're going to play I think the chart rundown music at this point, and we're going to get to the top 10, and we're going to spend a few moments talking about each one as we go along. But before we get to the top 10, I'm just going to do one honourable mention only, because at number 11, I was quite surprised to see this one at number 11. It is Prog 78, the Ant Wars cover by Kevin O'Neill. This is the newspaper cover, if people remember that. War declared on humanity. I was surprised by this one, Pete.
Yes, I was very surprised by this one. It's about as far away from 2000 AD as you can get.
Yeah.
You super sore away. Prog.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it is, it's done like a tabloid, like a red top.
Yeah.
Killer ants on the march, the column of text down the side, the image from of the ant itself, and on, of course, all the different prices in various territories, including Pluto, Mercury, and Saturn.
Of course. Yeah. the image on it is absolutely phenomenal, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's almost like it's got one of those sort of reverse filters on it, like a Doctor Who when the Daleks get you. It's like an X-ray. Yeah.
It's very newsprinty, isn't it? It's great. The central figure, sorry, we are looking at it, so it's easier. This is sort of very skeletal, and it's very creepy and wonderful. But yes, I was surprised when I saw this, to say the least.
Yeah.
Kev O'Neill, wasn't it? Of course.
Kevin O'Neill.
Yeah. Absolutely great. I read Ant Wars this afternoon in preparation for this tonight, so thanks for that, Eamon.
Well, an odd story, one we've done on the podcast, Whip Fox, fondly remembered story, and obviously a fondly remembered cover from the first 300 progs.
Yeah.
When Ant Wars got the cover and did the tabloid for us.
I was looking in Thrill Power Overload, and apparently Kevin O'Neill did it without telling anyone, without telling John Saunders, the sort of CEO, and got into a lot of trouble, I think.
Oh, right.
And understandably so, because you're just totally going off brand there, aren't you?
Yeah.
So, yes, a very strange cover anyway, but on this list, I don't know what it's doing there.
Well, let's get to the top 10 then, because I don't think we're going to have too much argument about the prog covers in the top 10. And we are sticking with Kevin O'Neill. We're sticking with skeletal figures. We're sticking with, if not this cover, but certainly some of the images from this story that would get him and Kev O'Neill into trouble with John Saunders again. This is Prog 239 by Kevin O'Neill, Nemesis versus Torquemada. Describe the cover for us, Pete.
Well, so it's, again, it's a very odd choice of cover design. It's Nemesis and Torquemada having a sword fight on a very gothic bridge that is made up by two giant skeletal alien weird figures. It's pure Kevin O'Neill. It's his beautiful brushwork, his very thin lines. The composition of it is unreal. So I would love to see this without the logo and the copy on it, because it's very symmetrical in its design, and it's just, it is a thing of beauty. It's got the sun sort of in the middle. It's casting rays out. It's fantastic. It's a beautiful image, but at the same time, it's a horrible image. that's pure Kevin O'Neill. It's fantastic. What surprised us with it when I was looking at it was how your main figures of Nemesis and Torquemada are just tiny little silhouettes in the book. What a brave choice.
Silhouettes, yeah.
Yeah, but every line sort of draws you in to that, to the centre. So the way the aliens are positioned, the way the arms are, the way they're looking, the way the clouds bend round, the sun's rays, everything takes you to those two figures in the centre. And again, I was the way Nemesis was introduced to us was very cleverly done. Like, they tried to keep him secret for as long as they could. So you had those first two stories, didn't you, where you barely glimpsed him. And I know that the Pat Mills had said he wanted to keep Nemesis a secret as long as he could to do a big reveal. And I know that by the time this cover had come along, would see him in all his glory. And for me, he is the best design of any 2000 AD character. I think he's horrific, he's terrifying, I love him. But I think this cover, for me, it evokes that mystery around the character. Phenomenal.
Just wonderful. And I mean, I say he got Kevin O'Neill would get into trouble. Am I right in thinking actually he may have had to reposition the bridge on this one? Wasn't there a story about it coming out of the pelvis?
Yes, there was. Yeah, he was known for doing lots of naughty things like this, wasn't he? But yes, I do believe he had to reposition the bridge.
Yeah, because it looked a little bit phallic emerging from the pelvis, so he had to move it up to the abdomen, I think, yeah.
Brilliant. But yeah, I think he's the best designer in the biz. Him and Carlos Esquerra, the two best designers that we ever saw. So I'm delighted that he's in this list. Because he was designer for the prog, wasn't he, from prog 1?
Yeah.
So it's brilliant that he's made this list, maybe even more than once.
Yeah, and he started out, of course, as we know, as a bodger, as he described it himself.
Yeah.
And went on to such great things, and wonderful sort of simmering energy in the colouring on the background, almost Kirby Crackle-ish. And as you say, it all draws your eyes towards these two little silhouettes of Nemesis and Torquemada fighting it out on this bridge. wonderful.
I couldn't resist reading the story. When I saw this cover, I went back and I read the story, and I forgot how violent Nemesis scripts were. Him and Pat, they did get away with murder, quite literally, didn't they? They were really gruesome, very violent strips. It's I don't think we would see it's like today.
No. The stuff that they would get away with. Okay, from Nemesis and Torquemada, we move into a cover that is so well known that I've even seen this cover cosplayed at Lawless. I think you might have been there that year as well, Pete.
Yes.
This is Prog 216 by Brian Bolland. The Synthetti Men are out to get you. Tell us about this cover, Pete.
So this was the cover for the Mega Rackets in Judge Dredd, and it was a story about the Psychos, or the Psychers, and it was a psychic protection racket, so a bent mob funded protection racket that used psychic projection to extort money from businesses. It was called the Third Eye Insurance Company. And it started, they were trying to extort money from a Italian restaurateur. And this was the psychic, nightmarish psychic vision that they gave him, that his spaghetti had come to life. It's a phenomenal image. And you're right, I saw this cosplayed as well, and I've got a little story about this. So the guy who did the cosplay was I know him as Constable Brass.
Oh, yes, yep.
And he was a lovely fella. And I think he was flying back to potentially Ireland after that convention. And he didn't want to take the spaghetti monster back on the plane with him. So I asked him if I could have it, because he was just going to put it in the bin. So, as you know, I'm a special needs teacher by trade. So now the spaghetti monster, the synthetic monster, lives in my classroom. So he's
no.
alive. Yes, yeah. and students love her. And I'll give her a name. Do you want to know it?
Yeah.
It's Penny. Very good.
Very good.
So yeah. Yes, so she lives on. She's in my classroom at work. So there you go.
So Pete Wells owns Nicolai Dante's final cover, but maybe even more envious that he owns the Synthetti Man from Prog 216.
Who's now a synthetic.
Brian Bolland. the waiter pulling back the cover to reveal the Synthetti Men or the Synthetti yes. Man. Yeah.
I mean, what's phenomenal about this cover is that you can follow every strand of spaghetti. And yes. It's so realistic. And I think that's why it works so well. It's going to use a horribly atrocious word now, but it's like a juxtaposition of it's so real. And yet it's so silly. it sort of throws you off. It is like a Monty Python image, or, you know, I get Mr. Creosote vibes, or even the waiter looks a little bit John Cleese. It could be something from Monty Python. It's fantastic. Yeah. And Meatballs for Eyes. I mean, come on.
Come on. What more do you want apart from an actual Muppet version of the Synthetti Man that Pete now owns? Fantastic.
But what I love about it as well is that it's simultaneously funny and creepy as anything at the same time, isn't it? It's awful. I love it.
Excellent stuff. Let us move then from a Synthetti Man to number 8 in our top 10 countdown. This is Prog 112, Blast Into Your Future. We're back with Kevin O'Neill. This is the Robusters cover, Pete. Just describe the sort of image that we can see on this one.
Well, it's all bizarre angles. Once again, Kev O'Neill has messed with the logo and the copy to create a really sort of striking, quite modern-looking cover. So it's a cover of the Satan's Dart spaceship that is flying through the terror tunnels, and it's just smashed into a police spaceship that looks like a shark. So the Satan's Dart is quite literally jumping the shark on this on this image, and it's all very kinetic and fast, and there's explosions and there's traffic going in all different directions. But the logo is beautiful. So the logo has been incorporated into the artwork, so it stretches like the tunnel, but there's then windows in the sides of it with people looking out. It's just, it's a crazy image. It's very, evokes the strip inside. It's very fast and rapid. But again, for all of these covers, I went back and read the particular stories inside, and his work inside is, it's just breathtaking, the way he has the way he conveys speed. So as well as doing horror and gothic artwork, he can do speed like you wouldn't believe. He's amazing.
And it's, I mean, this cover is a sort of masterpiece in graphic design, because the way he's, as you say, the way he's built in all these different bits of text, the perspective lines, he's, of course, snuck in an O'Neill signature on there as well.
Yeah.
The prog number and the date. I mean, again, it's just wonderful design from Kevin O'Neill. You know, a bit like the Unusual Ant Wars cover, but this one is so dynamic. And, of course, you can get this one, or at least you could get this one on a T-shirt from 2008 from Rebellion, I think, couldn't you?
Yeah.
I think this was one of the covers that you could buy on a T-shirt just as the cover itself, which is wonderful.
Yeah. I love that you can buy the current covers now from 2008. I think that was a wonderful move, and I hope they're selling well.
Is that the prints of them that you can buy?
Yes, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So the couple I've bought of late. But yes, this one is it's an absolute screamer, isn't it? And you, there's even a speech bubble on, and I'm always a fan of a speech bubble.
Yes, when we used to get speech bubbles on covers. Yes.
We've hit the shark car. Now it's next stop, Saturn 6. So it's pure vintage 2000 AD.
Bring back speech bubbles on the covers. Yes.
But it's so exciting. I think little 8-year-old me would see that in the shop and have to have it.
Yeah, just that you've got to. Yeah, yeah. Please, yeah. Somebody give me 10p to buy that.
Unless you're on Pluto.
And yeah.
Oh, he hasn't got the. Do you?
I don't think he's got the other. Yeah.
Oh, I wonder how they sold it on Pluto then.
Yeah, I know. News agent on Pluto struggling. Okay, let's drop back into the first 100 progs. We go to number 7. We go to our first appearance on the list from Mick McMahon. This is available in Pluto on the cover for this one, 9p in Earth money for prog 72. This is introducing the £180 Judge Burger. And am I right in thinking this was one of the... This was a rare prog for ages because the stories were not, these were part of the ones, the Cursed Earth Uncensored, weren't they?
Yeah, so the image is a very scary looking Ronald McDonald with his gaping, salivary mouth open, eating a burger featuring Judge Dredd. And yes, was very much banned, but a little interesting fact that I found out about this, Eamon. So you were right, there was two stories, wasn't there? There was the Burger Wars,
yeah,
which was about Ronald, and these all formed part of the Cursed Earth stories. These were little arcs. And there was the Burger Wars, which was about a Ronald McDonald clan and a Burger King clan fighting each other, and that got censored. And then there was another one called Soul Food, which had a Colonel Saunders, the Kentucky Fried Chicken man, and Alka-Seltzer and the Michelin man. And they both got banned for using copyrighted characters. However, I was reading in Thrill Power Overload again that it was the Jolly Green Giant was the issue. So I don't think this strip, the McDonald's and the Burger King one, was even on the radar of those two fast food places. But there was just, I think IPC was at a Fleetway at the time. They just banned it. They said they would never reprint it again, and Pat Mills was very unhappy, thought it was very naive of them. So there we go. So it was the Jolly Green Giant man that was the one, and apparently Ronald McDonald was okay with it.
Well, apparently there he is. His gaping mouth about to munch on a Judge Dredd burger. And he has got a lovely bit of saliva dripping from the teeth.
Yeah.
Oh. Very, very nice details. and, I mean, we know that Dave Gibbons and Mick McMahon used to tease each other about their use of perspective and so on, but he seems to have got it pretty much right on this one, I think, doesn't he?
Yes, perfect. You can see right up Ronald's nose, right up his red nose. I love the hair, so Ronald McDonald's hair looks amazing. It looks as good as the synthetic monster.
Yes. Every stroke of the pen, nice.
It's perfect. But, the perspective's great because you look at Dredd and you follow him up and you go right into the uvula of Ronald McDonald. It's horrific.
Nice use of anatomical terms there, Pete.
Thank you very much. And again, reading this story for the thing today, for this podcast, I was shocked at how brutal Wagner was in his Burger Wars story. So Ronald McDonald shot one of the employees because the table wasn't clean enough, and he was saying, "I won't be happy until there's McDonald's as far as the eye can see, and every burger has a pickle, and every milkshake needs to be eaten with a spoon." And once again, I think Wagner's predicted the future because it's pretty much happened.
yeah, it has. Yeah, it's all come true.
But it's a wonderful cover. What struck us with the strip was, and this cover is, how terrifying Ronald McDonald looks. But then if you see any adverts with Ronald McDonald in, he's even more scary in real life.
True, yes. What's that called? Is it courophobia? Is fear of clowns, I think, isn't it?
Yeah. So good. And I read there's a lovely little, if you get Thrill Power Overload, I'm sure it'll be somewhere online, or I might be able to stick a link to it in the notes, Eamon. The little retraction. So it was the Jolly Green Giant people, the little half page strip that they had to do, where the Jolly Green Giant's really nice and he gives Judge Dredd a load of free corn and Dredd eats, "This is delicious corn." And it's one of the worst things I've ever read, but it was, it made us chuckle.
Yeah. Judge Dredd endorsing Jolly Green Giant.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we've mentioned him already. Let's jump to number 6 in our countdown. We are with Dave Gibbons himself.
Yes.
And it is Prog 228. He's the most feared man on New Earth. This is, of course, the first appearance of Rogue Trooper. This is an iconic cover from Dave Gibbons, isn't it?
Yes, it's the definitive Rogue Trooper image, isn't it? This is what you see all the time. Hopefully this might be the image for the poster for the film, something like this. It's Rogue running out towards the raider, blasting away with his gun. And behind him you can see all the carnage of New Earth. It's a fantastic, fantastic cover, action-packed. Nice use of white space at the bottom for the text. So good. I was reading a little bit about Gibbons and McMahon working together, and when Gibbons was drawn the first few episodes, McMahon was saying, "Come on, he needs bigger feet." So I think his feet on this cover are normal size, but it'll be interesting to see what his feet were like in those first couple of episodes. But yeah, this is definitely the definitive image of Rogue and an absolute classic cover, isn't it? It's fantastic. I was reading a lot about the the development of Rogue Trooper. No, it wasn't smooth at all.
No.
So, yeah, Gibbons wasn't happy with Jerry Finley Adair's scripts and just did his own thing. But, you know, there's some dispute to that. But, you know, none of that detracts from this and how good that strip is. Quite rightly, one of the most popular strips in 2000 AD.
Yeah, absolutely amazing. And as you say, let's hope we're going to see at least one version of the movie poster that looks a little bit like this. Yeah. And I'm taken by the fact that in the background we've got this sort of future war and it's just bodies and soldiers piled upon themselves. I'm sort of reminded of that page that Richard Schief talks about. I think it's the Frank Bellamy page from Heroes to Spartan that is just bodies climbing all over each other.
Yeah.
And Dave Gibbons taking a leaf out of that book here in the background. And then, as you say, just the definitive image of Rogue Trooper with Helm, Gunner and Bagman.
Yeah. It's though maybe the definitive image, it's not my favourite. My favourite is it was the teaser image for Rogue that was shown earlier in the year when they were developing it. And it's Rogue just standing on New Earth and it's got war in giant letters.
Yes.
And all of his face is in shadow except you just see the little tip of his nose. And that was Gibbons again, and that was such a cool image, black and white. Again, I've got that. I'll send you it if you want to put it somewhere.
We'll find somewhere to put that image as well.
But this is, it's a classic. And getting us very, very excited for the film.
Well, talking about getting excited for the film, we're into the top five. We are sticking with, would you believe, Dave Gibbons. We're sticking with Rogue Trooper. Even more popular, apparently, than 228 is 241, Avenge Our Murder Most Foul, Future War with Rogue Trooper from Prog 241. And this is another great Dave Gibbons piece of work, isn't it?
Yeah, it's brilliant. And it was the reason why I began talking about the film, because those stills that we've seen from the film really evoke this kind of sickly, scary, polluted, disgusting image that we're looking at here. It's great. So this is the skeletal heads of Bagman and Gunner and Helm and Rogue walking the plains of New Earth. And I think this one is more in keeping with Gibbons's vision for Rogue, isn't it? So he wanted Rogue to be like a Kane from Kung Fu kind of character, walking the plains and, you know, not wanting to fight. And I think this sums that up a little bit more than the previous cover that we were discussing. But this got us really excited for the film. So if you go to the Rogue Trooper film website, so roguetrooper.com, and there's the stills there. I think it's the second still on the site is a New Earth still, and the sky and the colours completely reflect this cover. And I just thought, yes, they've nailed it. Very interested to see a trailer for that.
Can't wait. Here we have some floating disembodied heads. Comic artists like a floating disembodied head in their panels and here on the cover. And then, of course, a blue-skinned man sort of walking across the surface of a distant planet. This cover dated December 1981, so 5 years, I guess, or so before Dave Gibbons would be drawing another blue-skinned man on another.
Yeah.
But this is Rogue sort of stalking across New Earth and his fallen comrades' skulls, sort of like ghostly heads floating above him.
I like to think it was a sort of a nice anti-war kind of image, isn't it?
Very, yes. It's very lovely. Much so, yeah.
So, and then quite dreamlike. When I looked at it, I was thinking of Conrad and his dream weavers.
Oh, yes. The dream weavers thing, yes. Yeah. He does love that.
He's tainted rogue trooper for me now.
Yeah.
But yes, this is a classic. I am surprised that it's above the previous one, but it is a stunning image. And again, the composition, the New Earth, black clouds all kind of pointing to Rogue in the middle. And I love the use of black. It's excellent. So the sort of how he just sort of blends in with the ground, and the ground looks all chemically and polluted and just awful. It's a, yes, beautifully horrible image.
Yeah. Right, we're going to switch back from Dave back to Mick again.
Yeah.
Mick McMahon. And we are going to get to some Judge Dredd covers, and we're talking about Prog 148. This is one of those just Dredd feature, you know, a feature Dredd cover, Your Next Punk. This is the one with Dredd sort of sideways on with his lawgiver looking out at the reader from the page over the shoulder eagle. Again, Mick McMahon. Tell us about this one, Pete.
Oh, this was on my bedroom wall as a child. I know that doesn't help anybody listening. So this is an absolute iconic image, Your Next Punk, and it's a very punk image itself. It's absolutely bursting with attitude. There's a big red blood stain behind Dredd. It's sort of, you think it's a circle, but it's dripping with blood. He's just fired his lawgiver. You have beautiful, it's a classic study of the lawgiver. It's like the iconic, it's funny I've wrote iconic for the next three images referring to different things about Dredd in his world. But yeah, this was a, I'm saying it was a post from my wall. It wasn't. So this was used for the old Commodore 64 Judge Dredd game. This was the cover art for that, in black and white. So it was in the old Zap 64 magazines that I used to buy as a child, that Gary Witter and Black Mirror guy.
Oh, Charlie Brooker.
Charlie Brooker used to write for, yeah. And so that I remember cutting the page out from my Zap 64 and putting this on my wall. I loved it so much. But it's just an incredible picture of Dredd. Strangely, I'd always thought it was Carlos, and I could see the little Carlos dashes around his helmet, but I was wrong. The only sad thing about it, is yellow knee pads and elbow pads. Come on. But it's Dredd at his hardest.
Yes.
He looks amazing. Design-wise, it's great. You know, it fills the page. It's just one of the all-time greatest Dredd covers for me.
And we talked about graphic design earlier on, because, as you've said, there's a sort of – it's not quite the red circle behind the character, because the circle dissolves into blood drips. But putting a circle behind the character, that always works well, doesn't it? Draws the eye in.
Yeah. But then this dissolves into
blood.
Violence, yeah.
And recently we've seen, because periodically Tharg puts a straightforward Dredd image on the front cover, still to this day, Dredd sitting in a chair or towering over the city or whatever. Colin McNeill's done a brilliant one quite recently. Yeah. I don't know the answer to this, Pete, but do you think Mick McMahon started that trend of the definitive sort of iconic Just Dread covers?
Yeah, I think so. So obviously, for this, been looking at the early covers, and he was the man for just your bog standard.
Yeah,
Dread. You're very powerful. Standalone image that wasn't reflecting what was happening in the prog. And long may it last, because I was thinking about the new crop at the moment, and my very, very favourite ones. I think Jake Lynch is incredible at doing standalone Dread covers. And obviously Dan Cornwell and Henry, of course. But yes, I think it was. If you look at the other covers, they tend to be reflecting the action that's happening in the strip. But then obviously you've got the Robin Smith book that you reviewed, yes, not so long back. And obviously there he very much carried that tradition on, didn't he? Now and again he would say, just want this powerful Dread. So, yes, so I think Mick must have started it, and then Robin Smith carried it on, and then we've just got lots of brilliant people carrying it on to this day, and long may they reign.
Cliff Robinson with Dylan Teague colours has sort of almost made,
yes,
his career of doing them, hasn't he?
Yeah. And what I love about Cliff is he'll often choose a facet, and so it might be Dread's boot, or it might be the lawgiver, or he'll pick a tiny part of Dredd's outfit and he'll explore it. He'll make a cover that just reflects that tiny bit. He's a very clever man, his Uncle Cliff. He's good.
Well, talking of good, let's get into the top three. Here we are. We're in the top three now. And guess what? At number three, Prog 204, King of the Streets by Mick McMahon again. Dread sitting above the city of Mega City 1 with the sort of the eagle of the Hall of Justice behind him. Pete, what do you make of this?
Oh, it's perfection. It's absolute perfection, isn't it? It's iconic again. I'd wrote this time like the iconic view of the city, so obviously, Mick was the one who, although Carlos had done that beautiful Mega City 1 image right at the start of Dread, it was the sort of pepper pot blocks that Mick McMahon was responsible for. Yeah, and we've got them in spades on this image. It's just beautiful. Dread, he looks so powerful. He looks so angry. He looks like the protector of the city, does he? The brooding, watching over the city. It's absolutely awesome. The pads are the right colour as well. That makes us happy. But he just looks like the absolute boss of Mega City 1. It's perfect. Great eagle as well.
I guess by Prog 204, they decided finally, yeah, the pads are green.
Yeah.
earlier on 148, you could still have yellow pads.
Yeah.
No, it's all green. I mean, again, it's, you know, the boots coming out towards you.
Yes.
The perspective is wonderful. Dread looking so pissed off. And again, we talked about it already, but the image of Dread in a chair will become a staple as well for us, you know.
Yeah.
Again, Colin McNeil, as we said.
Yeah. Colin McNeil's brilliant. Greg Staples did a beautiful one when Dread was one of his attempts to be or not be chief judge. There's a brilliant Greg Staples Dread in a chair. But there's lots, isn't there, of Dread looking over the city. Because that's what he is, isn't it? And let's hope that there's going to be lots more because they're always brilliant.
Always yes. Welcome. I guess also for Tharg, it's handy to have a few, I don't want to say generic, but to have a few sort of like just dread images up your sleeve, because if you have a problem with another cover, you can just slot one in, really, can't you?
Yeah. Stock covers are always fantastic. So obviously I've been looking at the first 300 a lot, and they went through a phase of doing super covers that were just nothing to do with anything. So they were just generic science fiction images by, you know, Bolland or Gibbons or Gibson. So really the giants of the form just doing random sci-fi covers that didn't reflect anything going on inside, which, while they were beautiful, obviously none of them made this list, but a generic cover featuring your favourite characters, then yes, they're going to be up there all the time, and rightly so. This is a, it's a beauty, this one.
Yeah.
The shade.
Absolutely.
It's just great. And I'm sure one of those blocks is Pete Wells' block. Looking at it.
Must be. It must be, surely.
King of the streets.
Yeah.
Love it.
So at number four, we had Mick McMahon. At number three, we had Mick McMahon. Now, at number two, I thought this cover was actually going to win for a while. And strangely enough, in the overall vote, I think this cover would have won. But as I say, probably didn't get enough overall votes to actually make that significant. But at number two, Mick McMahon again. It is, of course, Prog 61, Bringing Law to the Cursed Earth. It's Dredd on his Lawmaster riding out with his crew into the Cursed Earth. Oh, you'd want to buy this comic, wouldn't you, Pete?
Yeah. Wow, there's so much going on. It's compositionally absolutely perfect. You've got the definitive iconic Lawmaster image front and centre with Dredd blasting out, blasting through the logo, which is always great. You've got rocks flying in the air from Mega City 2. You've got your Matchbox Land Raider. You've got Spikes Harvey Rotten on the other side, sort of symmetrical. And everything points to Dredd in the middle. And this is just a beast. It's exciting to look at. Like, I'm excited just looking at it right now, and I've been looking at it all day. It's the definitive Lawmaster image, often copied, as Mick went on to complain about, and we'll chat about that. But yes, it is the Cursed Earth, the definitive Cursed Earth image. It's fantastic. Dredd blasting out into the Cursed Earth, going to save the day.
And I think this was the cover that my brother had that I picked up and went, what the heck is this? I want to read this comic.
Yeah, you would want to, wouldn't you? And
absolutely.
Again, 78, I would have been 6 years old when this was out, so the hatters then.
Yeah, and
so
ever
this
since.
Was so very famously in Prog 500, they allowed the artist to do a strip called Tharg's Head Revisited.
Oh, yes.
Where they got to grind a few axes and it was meant to be cathartic. And Mick did a brilliant strip called Dredd versus the Bloodsuckers. And it was all about people copying his art. And he was saying it's not plagiarism, it's theft and all of this. But this was the image that he'd used to demonstrate that, saying that this image had been copied so many times by, in his eyes, less talented artists. It's a tricky thing. And one of the things that surprised us, actually, when I was reading about it today, was it said that somebody had traced his 148 Your Next Punk image and put that on the front of that computer game. So it might not have even been
He might not have been paid for that.
Yeah, so that is controversial. But then, when you think about Mick's origins, when he drew the bank raid, that wasn't the bank raid, Judge Whitey, he was aping Carlos, wasn't he?
He was, so, yes.
So yes. It's, you know, it all
they
goes around.
In to be a Carlos clone, didn't they?
Yeah. But you can see why he was upset. But yeah. You got to think, everybody's got to start somewhere, I guess. but that, you know, doesn't detract from this absolutely exceptional cover.
Yeah.
And seeing the Land Raider was very exciting when you could have it as a child.
It's on the shelf in the other room in here.
Yeah. Yes.
And again, we talked about Kevin O'Neill's with his sort of like lines, his perspective. Here the lines are coming out of the page towards us. Everything draws our eye in towards Dredd in the center.
Yeah.
Such an exciting comic, Prog 61, as I say, just flew off the newsagent's shelves.
He looks heroic, doesn't he?
He does.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Oh, good old
Judge Dredd brings
as well.
Lore to the cursed earth.
It was a little bit heartbreaking when I got the list.
I know what you're going to say.
One. I'm sorry that Carlos wasn't on it, but Carlos is all the way through it, isn't he? When you look at the amount of Dredds we've got, it's, you know, huge influence from Carlos.
So I think looking at the votes cast, what happened with Carlos was obviously his Apocalypse War covers split the vote.
Mm-hmm.
If I'd combined it into just like, you know, Apocalypse War, then Carlos would have made the top 10. But I think his Apocalypse War covers split the vote. Likewise, one of my great favourites, Ron Smith, got a lot of covers mentioned, but hasn't made the top 10. Those would be the two most obvious artists that are seem to be missing from our top 10.
But when you get the episode 600 and we're coming back to do
300 to the 301 to 600
from the old folks home, then, you know, Carlos will easily win it.
Right. Okay. Well, I look forward to doing that. I'll be in my 70s, Pete. What's that gag from Wolverine Deadpool about Hugh Jackman? They're going to make you keep doing these till you're 90. So, quick recap. At the top 10, at number 10, 239 by Kevin O'Neill. At number 9, 216 by Brian Bolland. At number 8, 112 by Kev O'Neill. Number 7 was Prog 72 by Mick McMahon. Prog 6 is 228 Rogue Trooper by Dave Gibbons. And then Dave Gibbons again at number 5, 241 Avenge Our Murder's Most Foul. Then we get a run from Mick McMahon, puts in a run. At number 4, Prog 148, Your Next Punk. At Prog at number 3, Prog 204, King of the Streets. And at number 2, Prog 61, Bringing Law to the Cursed Earth. So, we're there, Pete. We're down at number 1, as voted for by listeners of this podcast and the forums and the various Facebook groups. This is the top 2000 AD prog cover from the first 300 progs. Do you want to do the big reveal, Pete? Who got number one?
Well, it was the other guy. So this is Brian Bolland, Dark Justice, The Return of Judge Death.
Prog 225.
Yes, 225. And it features the four Dark Judges. And it is absolutely terrifying and phenomenal. But I remember this. I remember lots of these covers, but I remember this cover very, very fondly. I remember this story very fondly. So for me, I was eight when this came out. So I was born in October 72. This was August 81. And I remember getting this on holiday. We went to Canvey Island and were staying in a hotel. And that was something that we'd never done before. And really going to show me age here. But in my house, we had a bath and not a shower because showers were quite modern and newfangled back then. But this hotel had a shower in it that was at the end of a corridor because it was like a shared bathroom because this was the 80s. And there's a scene in Judge Death Lives where there's a guy in the shower and Death puts his hand through his chest and kills him. And I had to go in the shower, having read that. And I can see it like, you know, that scene in The Sixth Sense where he gets up in the night and he goes.
Oh, yes, yeah.
It was like that. And I was in the shower just any minute expecting Judge Death to burst in. He was that scary and that good. So, yeah, so this... So it has a real. I've got a real fond recollection of this story, and this cover is just great. So I'd said at the start that Kev O'Neill was the best character design, but I might have to revise that now. the Dark Judge is absolutely phenomenal, aren't they? So we already had Death.
Judge Death reaches out towards us from this cover.
Yeah.
And then, of course, as you say, in the background, we get introduced to
Fear, Fire and Mortis.
Oh.
my fave, design-wise, always Mortis. And I was just reading about it today, and Brian Bolland said he'd gone for a walk and he'd found a sheep's skull. He was walking in the lakes and he found a sheep's skull and he thought, oh, I like that. And he took it. And that's how we ended up with Mortis. Fear is brilliant. So he was given the brief of when you see his face, it'll kill you with fright. So he said you should never see his face. And I like that. And I never like it when you see the, you know, you sometimes get a glimpse, don't you, into the gates and you see all those eyes and everything. And I don't like that. I always think that it would be whatever you're frightened of, you know.
Yeah.
It would mirror your fear. It wouldn't be anything other than that. And then he said he'd designed Fire just to make him easier to draw. But I can't imagine that for a second, can you? Because he's so intricate with his flames and everything. But it is just a sort of Death is really dynamic in it and the other three are just standing there. Terrified. It is
it's like a horror movie in the front cover.
Yeah, it really is. It's terrifying. Brilliant.
And of course, we've seen, you know, talking about bringing right up to date, we have seen a Brian Bolland image recently posted, which not dissimilar to this, about a forthcoming Judge Death special that we might be getting. Is that right?
I know nothing of this.
Oh, right.
Tell us more. Tell us more. Oh, my goodness.
Yes, Brian Bolland is drawing Judge Death again. Yeah.
Wow.
The image that's been posted on Facebook looks like he's reaching out at us again.
Oh. See, with the state of the world at the moment, it's not going on the socials very often, and this is the problem, isn't it? Right, I'll be tracking that down as soon as we've wrapped this up.
I'm just wondering if I can quickly pull that image up to show you recently. But yeah, at number one, Prog 225 is your number one prog cover from the first 300, Dark Justice by Brian Bolland. Yeah,
amazing.
What a wonderful cover. So I think Brian Bolland gets two, Kev O'Neill gets two, Dave Gibbons gets two, and then everything else is Mick McMahon, who gets four, doesn't he?
Yes.
That adds up. Yes, he does. He
gets four. I'm at peace with that. I can cope with that.
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, obviously Carlos sort of comes in from sort of around 250 onwards. But if you were going to pick like the four big cover artists of the first 250 progs, it would be these four guys, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, very definitely.
I asked this next question with considerable trepidation. Do you own any of these covers, Pete?
Sadly not.
No. Okay. Well, let's play the most incredibly expensive and possibly difficult round of the Grail Page game that we've ever had in 300 episodes of this pod. I'm going to give you your choice of the top 10 covers, but I'm only going to let you pick one, Pete. Which would be the one that you would sell all your others? You would sell the Synthetic Man Muppet for in order to have a chance of owning. Which cover would it be?
I'm really struggling with all of them, to be honest. It would be one of the McMahons, I think, though. And I think it would be, for nostalgia value, it would be Your Next Punk.
Right.
So I love that image anyway. And the fact that I had it on my wall as a child, it would be amazing to have the real thing. But I prefer his style in the King of the Streets one, though. The heavy blacks and the sort of more angular uniform, but I'm going to stick with Your Next Punk.
Well, I think that's good because also that's not being picked as a Grail Page, so we're still sticking by the rules. The cover to Prog 148, Your Next Punk by Mick McMahon becomes Pete's.
Yeah, and obviously it would be uncoloured. It would be the inks, you know.
The black and white version.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And yourself, payment yourself.
What was Prog 61. Prog 61, Mick McMahon bringing law to the cursed earth. The comic that, you know, the cover that made me read 2000 AD. The cover that's got me to 300 episodes of this little podcast.
It's funny, isn't it, how your tastes change. Oh, I'll tell you who else is missing from the first 300 was Ian Gibson, because he did some great covers in those early 300s. Some of his Rogue Trooper stuff was, some of his Robo Hunter stuff.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. but it's funny how your tastes change, isn't it? When I was little and stupid, I didn't care for McMahon's messy style, the kinetic style of things. I much preferred Bolland's cleaner, you know, sharper images. But now, obviously, that I'm older, I totally understand the kinetic, exciting, free-form energy of McMahon and Carlos and all of them. It's great how your tastes change.
Yeah.
Love them all, but it's funny how you mature.
And I've forgotten all those Strontium Dog covers by Carlos.
I know. But when we get into the 300 to 600s, there's some.
Then it's Carlos time.
Belters, isn't there?
Yeah. Great so stuff.
You've definitely got to do another 300 episodes, Eamon.
I'll see if I can bang that out for you quickly so we can come back and do this again. Great. Well, thank you for taking me through the top 10, Pete, and for your covers uncovered insight on them.
Loved it.
Good. We'll have a quick round of guest projects. Since we last talked, Monster Fun, which is sadly no longer with us, but you were writing for Monster Fun.
Yeah, that was absolute honour of my life. I loved it. Got to make my own character. So I did Sir Render, the Cowardly Knight, and it was just absolute hilarious fun to write. Big thanks to Keith Richardson for giving us the chance, Frankie, Frankie Stein, sorry, I should say. But it was a great little strip, if I do say so myself, about a young lad called Rodney Render. He was a pig poop collector in the medieval times, and he inadvertently became a knight. Inspired by friend of the show, there was a wizard called Boilbot the Pustula, and he'd put a magical catapult in a stone and said, whoever pulls the catapult from the stone, I'll become a knight of the realm. And the bravest person in the realm did, a fella called Conrad the Courageous, who was named after Conrad of this parish. And the 2000 AD podcasts.
Yes.
And then he slipped on some of Rodney's pig poop, fell off this mountain, and Rodney picked up the catapult and became Sir Render. So he was a cowardly knight, and it was loads of fun writing that. And I do miss it. So you never know. Rebellion ever get a chance to do Monster Fun again.
Bring us back a Monster Fun.
Yes.
Well, like lovely. All the Hatch Matches and Dispatches, they would still do an annual, wouldn't they?
Yes. Let's hope.
Yes. And,
I'd love to write them again. It was so much fun. So normally, as you know, I write stories for children with special needs, and that's all going wonderfully. But in that, I have to be really, really restrained. And I always say it was the work of John Wagner that inspires us to show, don't tell, and to keep things succinct and not muddy the stories with unnecessary detail. But when I was writing Surrender, it meant that I got to put little jokes in and little embellishments, and it was just a new way of writing, and it was lovely. It was really nice. I'm currently developing some stories for another special needs company. It's been a long project, this, but it's around some little weighted cuddly toys that come with little weighted blankets for children with autism who like deep pressure. So I'm writing a bunch of stories about these little creatures and the weighted blankets. That's quite nice. It's much more twee and less snotty and pig pooey than I'm used to. Lots of fun.
And the sensorystoriespodcast.com, the website's still up, isn't it?
Yeah. It's nice because those stories are just, I've got an audience that continues to grow and continues to grow. And it's been nice because I had a little health issue last year. That's why I haven't been around as much. I had a aortic dissection, which means, as you know, Dr. Eamon, that my aorta exploded. So I had to slow down and do a bit less. But what's lovely is me Sensory Stories product is sort of a staple part of lots and lots of schools now. So I get a, royalties from that coming regularly and seem to be going in the right direction. So it's lovely. But there's 30 stories on there now. So I can afford to sit back a little bit and let them just permeate in the schools. And then I'll be writing some more, I think, maybe it's at the end of the year. Exciting.
Very exciting. Well, I will put links to your website in the show notes. I'll also put links to your comic art fans pages we've been talking about, particularly Lawman of the Future and Prog 1791's cover. The cover to Prog 148 is now your Virtual Grail page.
Hooray!
Your next punk. And that's episode 300. We've done it, Pete. Thank you so much.
Hooray! Happy birthday again.
Thank you. And I want to thank everybody who voted for the top 10 covers from the first 300 progs. I thank everybody for listening to Megacity Book Club for 300 episodes. Thank you for everybody who's got in touch. Thank you for all the emails, the reviews, and all the nice comments. It's all very gratefully received.
Before you finish, Eamon, while you're saying thank you, I think I would like to say, on behalf of all the listeners to this, a huge thank you to you. The amount of work that you put into these is phenomenal. As somebody that's lucky enough to be able to come on it, the notes that you send us and the amount of prep that you do, it's really, really appreciated. But then, obviously, I'm just a 6 episodes or whatever, you bang out a really, really brilliant episode time after time after time. So thank you, Eamon, for all that you do. You're brilliant. Thank you.
Oh, Pete, thank you. You're too kind. I always feel underprepared, particularly when you've done all the homework and read all the progs for this episode. But I suppose we can't stop Pete Wells reading 2000 AD progs.
Never. Yeah,
never. You can find all the links and stuff we've been talking about at megacitybookclub.com. I will be posting some of the images of the covers on all the socials in the week after this episode comes out. And you'll be pleased to hear I've still got a long list of books to cover, people who are queuing up to get on the podcast, Pete. Lots to come in the future. I'm not Brilliant. Running out of subjects yet. We might make
Roll
episode
on 600.
But if you have a book or an artist or a comic that you'd like to talk about, get in touch. Email me, mcbcpodcast@gmail.com. Always trying to fit in new members of the book club as we can. And that will do us, Pete. Until next time on the book club, when we're talking about another great book, it's goodbye from me and
goodbye from the other me.